NBRN.
Your Country Roots radio station.
You're listening to Real Country Legends with R.B. Renegade. Real Country Legends, where the past is never forgotten.
Got 9,999,999 tears to go, and then I don't know if I'll be over you. Sun didn't shine this morning, it's been raining the whole day through. Suddenly, without warning, you found somebody new. That's when the first tear came, falling from my eyes. I'm beginning to feel the pain, seeing nothing but cloudy skies. Got 9,999,999 tears to go.
Pop country singer and songwriter, probably best known for his 1960s pop hits. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome Dickie Lee to the show. Welcome, Dickie.
Hey, RV, it's good to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could join me today. Now, you made some of your first recordings in Memphis for Tampa Records and Sun Records back in the late 1950s.
Right, yeah. I started out in the late 50s recording in Memphis, and that's where I grew up.
But your first big chart success is, a lot of people may not know this, but this is a song that's been recorded by the likes of George Jones and Ann Murray. She Thinks I Still Care, a big, big country hit you wrote.
Yeah, in fact, that's the biggest song I've had as far as my songwriting success. I've been trying to write a follow-up to that one for about 40 years now.
Well, that was one of your first attempts at a country song, was it?
Yeah, it really was, yeah.
Wow. A lot of people would like to have that kind of success right off the bat. Now, you followed that up later that year with Patches, and that's probably one of your more popular pop songs. It was written by Barry Mann and Larry Kobler, and
right.
You recorded that for Smash Records. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, actually, when I recorded that song, you know, She Thinks I Still Care, I wrote She Thinks I Still Care about the time I had recorded Patches, and Patches was a kind of a teenage tragedy song. And the guy that was producing me at the time, Jack Clement, he had heard the song. He was working for Chet Atkins in Nashville, actually, and he heard the song. And he just decided he'd get it to me. He thought it might be a good thing for me. He had been my engineer and producer at Sun Records. And when he got a hold of that song, he thought that might be a good one for him, because we started out on Sun together, and we've kind of been together ever since in one form or the other. But Jack was responsible for getting that song for me. He kind of stole it from Chet and got it to me.
Well, that's all right. Let's give that one a spin for our audience here. Some of our country listeners may not be familiar with this song, but we're going to play Dickie Lee and Patches.
Down by the river that flows by the coal yards, stand wooden houses with shutters torn down. There lives a girl everybody calls Patches. Patches, my darling, of old Shantytown. We planned to marry when June brought the summer. I couldn't wait to make Patches my bride. Now I don't see how that ever can happen. My folks say no, and my heart breaks inside. Patches, oh, what can I do? I swear I'll always love you, but a girl from just bring me disgrace, so my folks won't let me love you. Each night I cry as I think of that shanty, and pretty Patches there watching the door. She doesn't know that I can't come to see her. Patches must think that I love her no more. I hear a neighbor telling my father. He says a girl named Patches was found floating face down in that dirty old river that flows by the coal yards in old Shantytown. Patches, oh, what can I do? I swear I'll always love you. It may not be right, but I'll join you tonight.
Oh, I remember that song, boy, I'll tell you. Now, was there any consideration, did you say when you wrote She Thinks I Still Care around the same time as Patches, was there any consideration to you recording it?
No, you know, I never really thought about it. I was just trying to write a song. I was, you know, I'd written a few songs, and that was the first real success I'd had. In fact, I was writing that song with Elvis in mind, She Thinks I Still Care, and later on, I got to know Elvis real early on in my Sun Records days, and I had told him, I guess this was maybe, oh, years after George Jones had recorded it, and you know, he told me, he said, I love that song, and he said, I'm going to record it one of these days. And I said, well, you know, I said, you're the first person I pitched it to. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, he had a guy that worked for him at the time, and I played it for him. He said, yeah, I'll get that to Elvis. So I said, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, he pitched it to you years ago. And he said, I never heard that song. So anyway.
1963, you had a number 14 hit that you co-wrote with, who did you co-write this called I Saw Linda Yesterday? And who did you write this with?
Yeah, with Alan Reynolds. Alan and I came to Nashville together. In fact, Alan recorded all the Garth Brooks records. And that's a song we wrote, and it's really funny when we were writing that song, we were calling it I Saw Her yesterday, and Patches, we were writing that song while Patches was a hit. And, I thought, you know, like, I don't want to follow up Patches with another slow, sad song. And we were writing this song, and somehow we got to messing around with it. And we changed it, from I Saw Her yesterday to I Saw Linda yesterday, and made it an up-tempo thing. So it turned out to be my follow-up record to Patches.
Yeah, and then you followed that up with another teen tragedy song. In 65, you wrote Lori, Strange Things Happen, which I can tell you is one of my wife's all-time favorite songs. And this is a song related to urban legends known as the Vanishing Hitchhiker and the Resurrection Mary. Tell us a little bit about Lori.
It's my Halloween song. It always gets a lot of play around Halloween. I didn't write this song. A good friend of mine wrote this song, and he was actually a psychology professor at Memphis State University, where I went to school, and we did some writing together. But I'm a big horror freak. I'm a big Stephen King fan, and I've probably read everything he's written. And one night we were just writing, we were just kind of fooling around. And I said, I wonder what it would be like just to have a ghost story on record. And there had been before, but I didn't realize it at the time. But nothing much was said about it. And later on, my friend Mitt Addington, the professor from Memphis, he brought the song one night, and he said, "What do you think of this?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's pretty wild." So we ended up recording it. He wrote it, and he got the idea. Some girl had shown him some old folk tale about it's basically that story, and he wrote the song from that story, and we recorded it, and still weren't sure what to do with it because it was kind of a new thing as far as, you know, that was considered a pop record, especially at the time. And I just give you a little trivia on that record. Ray Stevens arranged that record, and Boots Randolph played horns on it, and Jerry Reed played guitar on it. There were just a lot of really big stars that played on that record at the time.
Wow.
We put it out, and it turned out to be a smash for us.
Oh, sure it did. All right, well, let's give that a listen to right now. This is Dickie Lee one more time, and this is Lori.
Last night at the dance, I met Lori. Lovely and warm, an angel of a girl. Last night I fell in love with Lori. Strange things happen in this world. As I walked home, she said it was her birthday. I pulled her close and said, "Will I see you anymore?" Then suddenly she asked for my sweater and said that she was very, very cold. I kissed her goodnight. Today, a strange horse drew me.
wife was sitting here listening to that song. That's still one of her favorites. Now, in the 70s, you started going with big country hits, Never Ending Song of Love, Angels, Roses, and Rain, and 9,999,999 Tears.
You said it good, RV. Most people can't say it. You got it right.
Well, I was saying it. I was listening to it this morning, and I was thinking, boy, that must be something to sing.
Seven nines.
Yeah. Now, in 1994, you wrote a song that I bet so there's not a lot of people realize that you wrote this, but this is close to my heart because this was my groom's choice at my wedding. And you wrote Keeper of the Stars, recorded by Tracy Byrd.
Yeah, you know, it's really neat. That song, People Magazine came out with it that and said that was the wedding song of the year. I have probably run into literally hundreds of people that said, hey, I sang your song at my wedding. And I just say, well, I hope you're still happy. I don't want to make any enemies.
But it turned out
really a successful song. And, you know, when I recorded that song, it never dawned on me about it being a wedding song. I mean, it just kind of turned out that way.
The fact that
so many people have had it played at their weddings.
Now, in 1995, you were inducted in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. That's quite an honor.
Yeah, that was quite an honor and quite a surprise. You know, I could think of a lot more people that deserved it more than I did, but as I say, I will take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you still out and performing and on a regular basis?
Yeah, I'm still doing. You know, my career came along at kind of a, you know, just that time when, you know, I started off as I was a rock and roll singer, but you know, I would sing country songs backstage to any of our rock and roll friends who would listen to it because I love country music. And when rock and roll started going a little bit psychedelic in the early 60s, I eventually decided I wanted to go country. And I later, after Smash, I signed with RCA, and they signed me as a pop artist. And I had a meeting with Chet Atkins and said, I'd really like to try to do some country things. And he said, well, have at it. So he was gracious enough to give me a shot. And my second record, Never Ending Song of Love, was my first number one country record.
Oh, that's great. Now, if folks want to keep track of you, that sort of thing, you have a website. I am aware of the website. You want to let folks know what that is?
Yeah, it's a brand new website. We're still working on it a little bit, but the address is www.dickieleemusic.com.
I'm going to ask you something I've been asking everybody is this show is aired on internet radio. We are broadcasting around the world. What are your feelings about internet radio today and in the future? Where do you think it's headed?
Well, I think it's going to be more and more popular because the internet, you know, it just keeps getting stronger and stronger and there are more listeners. There's much more music bought off the internet today. And, I just think it's got a big future. At least that's the way it looks to me.
On this show with Real Country Legends, this show is, I focus on traditional country music and a lot of music you just can't hear on commercial radio anymore. And I know we've got a broad listening base and the internet's where they can hear it. And we're getting more and more listeners by the day. And I definitely think it's the wave of the future.
You're not kidding. I agree with you completely.
Well, I want to thank you very, very much for being on this show. It's been a real privilege to have you. And we're going to be playing a couple more of your songs after we finish talking. And it's just been a treat to have you on the show.
Well, same to you, RV. And I just want to say hi to all your listeners and hope they remember me and hope they still like my music and hope I can get up Boston way pretty soon.
All right. That was Dickie Lee, direct from his home in Nashville, Tennessee, right here on Real Country Legends.
You've been listening to Real Country Legends on NBRN. Join host RB Renegade every Sunday morning for more greats from the past. Until next week, let's keep on keeping it country. Keeping it country. Keeping it country.